This conference is now being recorded.
Hi everyone, it's Katie Morris speaking from the Australian Association of Mathematics Teachers, and sitting with me is Will Moroney, the Chief Executive of the AAMT. Today, over the next hour, we're going to take you very swiftly through the AAMT blueprint about improving maths outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander learners. And we're particularly interested in getting your perspectives and questions and comments from a remote perspective. Just some quick instructions. You won't be able to talk like Will and I can over the computer, over the webinar, but there's a little chat box on your bottom left-hand corner where you can put in questions. We'll be asking you questions during the hour, but you can put in questions. But when we come to ask you questions, if you'd all just dive into that chat box and give us some feedback and some answers. Most of you are accessing this webinar via computer. If your internet coverage drops out, please use that number and dial in through your phone that is now in the chat box on the bottom left-hand corner. The number is that you dial in on, and then the passcode to join the webinar. There are documents on the right-hand side bottom corner of your screen, which we'll be referring to, but I think most of you should already have most of those documents. There we go. Michelle must be pointing it out for us. Thanks, Michelle. There's also, at the end of this webinar, a very short exit survey. We're very new to doing all of this, so we're looking for some feedback about the technology and about the whole way we're using webinars. So we'll get stuck into it now. We're talking about improving maths outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander learners in remote communities. We also have been doing symposiums in the different capital cities around Australia because we are looking at setting up a national network. Well, we will be setting up a national network that's going to develop an agenda, but we'll talk more about that shortly. So we're moving on to slide two. We started all our sessions with this quote. Imagine if Aboriginal students in Australia had the same maths outcomes as non-Aboriginal students. Australia would be a different place. What are your thoughts about that? What are your comments about that statement? What is that statement saying to you about maths outcomes for Aboriginal students and what Australia might look like if outcomes were on a par? And I'm talking about Western mathematics. If you've got any comments about that quote, stick it in the chat box now. Okay. Going, gone. We'll come back to this little girl, Janae. You can see her face has been ruled up with lots of different lines. I'll talk about that shortly. But there's maths and all sorts of things happening in that picture of Janae that are a very important part of one of the clusters from the Make It Count project, which I'll be talking about directly. Now I'll hand you over to Will for a moment.
Yes, and although Katie's mentioned, and hello everyone, although Katie's mentioned the Make It Count project and that's been a substantial part of the association's work over the last few years, so we are taking the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about that and actually test out whether work that we've done in metropolitan and regional centres also speaks to people in the sort of places you're in. So that'll be interesting feedback for us later on. But the main point is, what comes next? We've done a project which we and the schools are involved in and are pretty proud of, and we're working hard to make it known by people and used and useful for people. But the issue of Aboriginal kids learning maths is such a big one, such a challenging one. Because as we all know, maths is the gatekeeper on so many opportunities in life. And so it's not just a AAMT thing, and this blueprint is trying to pull together everyone who cares about the issue and the challenges, a call for action for all of them to work together and to work together within a national strategy, working in common directions. So we'll come back to that a little bit later, but have in your heads that you might be at the very formative stages of something very big and very special. So
we've just had a question come up from Bruce, who's wondering about including Indigenous perspectives on mathematics. Very good question, Bruce, and that's something that will no doubt be on the agenda for the national network. But also I'll cover that shortly, very briefly, in the time we have, in reference to one of our clusters and what they've been doing about incorporating Indigenous perspectives in the teaching of mathematics. Now's a chance to hear from you. What's happening in your classrooms and schools and communities that's really good? Because we know that there are pockets of wonderful things happening around Australia, but often we don't know the ill hears about them, or they're happening in isolation, or they start and they finish, and then it dies away. So what is happening in your classrooms, in your schools, and in your communities at the moment? What are the good things, the highlights, the best things?
So just drop a couple of lines in the
chat box.
In the chat box, yeah.
And we know there are. I recognise some of those names on that list, so I know there are some good things happening. And then, mate, we've got some people from universities online as well, if you want to respond, because you'll be working with schools and communities too. Some good things are happening. UMI Deadly Maths is happening in Peter Seven School, and I reckon that's probably in Queensland, Kim, where UMI Deadly Maths started. Marie says Talking Number, and I know that's happening up in some places in the Northern Territory. Some very good stuff there. Count Me in Two, that's New South Wales, and Talking Number again. Count Me in Two is developed by the New South Wales Education Department. Training for Aboriginal education workers are the constants in schools, absolutely. And the professional learning for Aboriginal education workers for a number of our clusters is very important, and I'll talk a bit more about that. But yeah, those people are pivotal to kids learning and to teachers learning. So Talking Numbers come up again. ARMA meetings, including Indigenous ATs, excellent. Talking Numbers as part of learning together sessions. Louise, AEO training in the delivery of QuickSmart, and we've seen some great examples of that in our travels. I'd like to hear a bit more about the impact that's had with your Aboriginal kids. Sheena, QuickSmart and individual tutoring, excellent. Jasmine, participating in an inquiry project across three Northern Territory remote schools around maths oracy, building oral language and maths spoken, excellent. And I'd love to hear about some of the strategies you're using there, Jasmine, and the professional learning community that has probably been established in amongst those three remote schools. Kelly talks about maths lessons in first language as well as English. Excellent. And I've seen some great examples of Aboriginal educators and teachers, telling story, using Creole and standard Australian English, and, you know, wrapping some wonderful maths context in those. Mindy, Indigenous teacher education, again, really important. Thai, AT teaching Ngoyu Mapa using language, using talking number, Louise instructional leaders working in specific classrooms, teaching using Excel. I'm assuming that's Excel spreadsheets, Peter. So there are some terrific examples that, you know, we've just shared there. We've got 20 people online from, most of you are from remote in Queensland, Northern Territory and WA. So that is terrific. Well done.
And that really highlights one of the reasons why we think this network is going to have or has such potential for being a space for those things to be known about. Because, you know, all those things in just a few minutes, there are rich stories around those that could be very powerful and very well told for the benefit of other people. And those communication channels just aren't there.
Yep.
There's some more coming up. We need to get going, Katie.
Yeah, we'll get going again. Quick Smart and problem solving techniques. Excellent. Thank you very much for that. As you can see, there's yes and yep, Newman's error analysis. So we'll move on, and I'm going to talk very quickly, briefly about the Make It Count project. But I will give you some. There is some more information about Make It Count in the documents that we have down in the bottom right-hand corner, which you may have already received.
Oh, this is working. I've just gone through a whole lot of hassles. I'm just painful.
Okay. So what we're going to do is take you through the 8 clusters and the work that they have been doing. We'll start with Queensland. You can see number 8 there. It's the Gladstone cluster. So in the Gladstone cluster, we've been looking at middle years investigative learning. They knew that they were losing kids in the middle years of schooling and before, and they really wanted their Aboriginal kids to keep going with you know, doing maths in the senior secondary years. Gladstone is a big industrial city, and they wanted kids to get, you know, get employment within the industry. They were using UMI, Deadly Maths, which somebody mentioned earlier, and also Maths 300. So it was really problem-solving, hands-on, investigative learning. In Narang, they did a lot of work using first steps in mathematics, which I know a number of you are probably aware of. What they did, though, was look at developing managers working in middle levels in schools. And those managers were working in Aboriginal education and maths education, and it was the intersection of Aboriginal education with maths education that this leadership model was developed. So those middle managers worked with their classroom teachers in action research and inquiry approaches. That area, that space where the intersection of maths and Aboriginal education occurs is a really new area in education that we're working with. In Darug is in Mount Druitt area in Western Sydney. They really wanted to keep grab their Aboriginal kids when they started school, and work with the kids and their parents and get them really engaged in culture and mathematics. So it was about developing cultural identity through math and mathematical identity through culture. They developed the Monday Maths Mob, and I'm going to talk a bit more about them in a minute. In Orange, they worked with Dr. Tyson Yunkaporta, who was an Aboriginal person from various parts of Australia. Tyson had developed with people in the Dubbo area of New South Wales 8 ways of Aboriginal learning. If you Google 8 ways, you'll find a wiki. Don't do it down though, you're listening to us. You'll find a wiki about Aboriginal 8 ways. They use this framework for developing their pedagogy and for developing what what maths they taught and how they taught the maths. And they had a learning sequence or learning map that they developed. And one of the fantastic things about that learning map was that, right, they would backward map, they would backward plan, and they would start, therefore, with how can the maths be taken home? How can this maths that we've learned be used in families and communities? And they backward map their work from there. Well, hopefully, Kim, we've just fixed the sound for you. In Hillsville, we just had a question about the sound dropping out. In Hillsville, we worked with a number of different targets. They really wanted to concentrate on the cultural competency of their teachers working with Aboriginal kids, and they also knew that they needed to improve the mathematical content and pedagogical knowledge of their teachers. So this two-pronged approach was really important, because down the track they brought the two together to develop responsive maths pedagogy. They also had a strategy called Getting Ready in Numeracy, which front-loads students. And that means they're setting kids up before the lesson, before the maths lesson, rather than trying to catch kids up after the maths lesson. Front-loading is really interesting. In Alberton, now this is and Bruce, you asked about Aboriginal perspectives. I should have said in Orange, that was very much what they were working with, and in Darras, and also they were doing it in Alberton. So in Alberton, they wanted to develop their resilience of their Aboriginal kids to keep wanting to bounce back to the maths, to take risks in mathematics, and to keep on, you know, trying with mathematics. And to develop the resilience in Aboriginal kids, they used a process of mathematisation and contextualisation, and I know that sounds like big jargon words, but what they would do is they'd use context, social context that kids were really interested in, and teach the maths through those contexts, such as, you know, MasterChef was a big thing a while ago, it probably still is. But they would teach the maths, introduce the maths through that social context, and then they'd dig out the mathematics and apply the mathematics, they'd recontextualise it, they'd apply that new mathematics to another context. In Noarlunga, now a number of you, because you're from remote schools, would have heard of accelerated literacy. Now I know accelerated literacy can be quite controversial in some places, but this Alberton cluster have been using it for quite a while, and they had really good results in literacy. And then they decided that they wanted to take the principles of accelerated literacy and apply them to the teaching of mathematics. So they developed, again, a learning sequence that was explicit and scaffolded, and they used such ways of teaching as pre-formulation and reconceptualisation, which I won't go into now, but really, you know, very much about explicitly teaching what is invisible to kids and making it visible in Western mathematics. In the Swan cluster in Perth, near Perth, they had a focus on mathematical content knowledge of teachers. They set up mentoring programs between teachers and between schools, and they had a big focus on the professional learning of their Aboriginal educators, which has come up in your chat so far, and in their education assistants. And those people were, you know, there were major transformations in Aboriginal educators and in education assistants, in how they thought about maths and how they worked with their Aboriginal kids, and, you know, they developed the resources themselves and all sorts. It was terrific to see. So that is very swiftly an overview of the Make It Count clusters. One of the important things out of this project was how those clusters connected with each other. Those clusters, is that sharing of expertise between clusters, you know, people in Western Australia sharing expertise with and ideas and connecting with people in Queensland and so on, really, really important. And that's, another, again, one of the reasons this, we think this national network is important, so that you people who are in remote schools can learn from people who might be in Western Sydney, and importantly, those people in Western Sydney or in Perth or wherever can learn from what's happening in remote schools. Now I'll go on to the next slide. Out of the clusters work, we developed cluster findings, and you'll see down the bottom, the bottom right-hand corner, the fourth document down is the Make It Count cluster findings, which I don't think you actually got a copy of it. But those cluster findings we have organised to reflect the Australian professional standards for teaching, because we know everybody knows about those professional standards and are using them. So you'll see in that that PDF, the cluster findings aligned to those three domains and the seven standards. Now, I'm going to go talk a bit more about what happened with that Darug mob and their Monday maths mob and the cluster finding that came out of that. So, sorry about that. So this cluster finding in relation to professional knowledge, there's no Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander learners and know how they learn. And the cluster finding for Darug and for some of our other clusters was that you've got to know what is significant in the daily lived reality of learners. So maths learning can be culturally relevant and connected as well as academically rigorous. So what they established was this Monday maths mob. They started doing it on a Monday afternoon, and before parents came to pick their kids up, because when kids are 5 years old, generally parents go and pick them up, or carers, or somebody. So they just asked their parents, they invited their parents to come a bit earlier and to participate in the Monday maths mob. And it started with Aboriginal kids, and then because it was a school in Mount Druitt, they then got other kids involved as well later on in the year. They also set up this mentoring. You'll see their stage three buddy classes. They had older kids coming in and working in the classroom with those kids themselves. Here, and I said before, it was about developing cultural identity and mathematical identity, and they had all sorts of activities happening in that classroom, all sorts of social relationships developing between parents and carers and students. They did have an Aboriginal educator working closely with them and in the classroom, and they had one teacher who worked with those students. Now, in the Make It Count project, schools had to build an evidence base to support those cluster findings or to support what they were doing. And at the end of last year, the clusters gave their final reports. This is data from the final report from that cluster and from the key school in that cluster. So they began the Monday maths mob in 2009, and that first cohort of kids in 2009 to go through the Monday maths mob did the NAPLAN NAPLAN test last year in 2012. So if you follow that green line, you'll see that this is the school's NAPLAN data for year three from 2009 through to 2010, 2011 and 2012. Now that Monday maths mob, the pedagogy and what they were doing really had implications for the whole school. and it spread. You know, this great work, this great teaching that they were doing. Other teachers started picking up on it, so other maths classes started using similar ways of teaching. And you can see from here that the top line is the state data. For all kids, the purple line is state data for Aboriginal kids, and the brown line is for New South Wales Aboriginal kids in the DEC schools, in the government schools. And the green line, as I said, is that data from that school.
Yeah, and I mean, they're pretty excited about that kind of thing happening. And I just need to say, this is not commenting on NatLearn as a good test or a bad test in that sort of territory. It was the one that in this project we needed to use as part of the evidence that was there. So they were pretty excited about that. Obviously, we need to be very cautious about it because it's only one group of kids once and so on. I will say it's not an insignificant number of kids. This particular school is quite a big one, and it's something over 30 Aboriginal kids. So, it's got that sort of size to it. So, as I say, that was just, they were just so pleased with what they'd been able to achieve. I'm hoping that later on this month when they get their data back, it'll be the same. We'll see what happens.
Okay, very quickly now, six things that we know from Make It Count. And if you've got any questions about what I've just talked about, please enter them into the chat box and I'll do the best I can to answer them given the time restraints. But the six of the things that we've known from Make It Count is that cross-sectoral collaborations work. We had independent Catholic and government schools working together. Learning communities, really important. So we had learning communities that were operating at a national level, at a state level, and at a cluster level. And those interconnections between those learning communities nationally, systemically and locally were really important. We learned that practitioner-researcher partnerships are really important, really valuable. And I haven't mentioned yet that each of our clusters had at least one critical friend. And those critical friends were academics or researchers from universities, from maths education and from Aboriginal education. And they had a really important role in helping the schools gather data, develop data tools, gather data, look at the data, analyse it, write about it, and to learn together, you know, to create new knowledge about the teaching of mathematics for Aboriginal kids. We know that the focused learning of professional learning communities is really important. It's better to go deeper than wider. Some of our clusters started off with really wide sort of focus, if that makes sense, and then, you know, really honed in on it. And the critical friends were important for helping them find that focus. The grassroots upwards, really important, so that the schools initiated what they wanted to do and where they wanted to start and which kids they wanted to work with and so on. AAMT had the funding and they had support and had networks and people around to help the schools and the clusters, do what they needed to do. The professional learning in maths, content knowledge, and in pedagogy, and in cultural responsiveness all needs to be intertwined and working together. Again, Aboriginal educators, which many of you said at the start, play a vital role. Parent and family engagement and creating communities. Now, for a number of our schools and clusters, they were unable to access communities, Aboriginal communities, as such, to come and work with them. So they set about to create communities within the schools. We had leaders who were prepared to have a go, principals and cluster coordinators who were prepared to take risks and have a go. And we know how important principals are in anything, in and leadership in schools, how important that is in anything that you're wanting to achieve. And we know that now that national approaches can work and work well. Michael has asked about defining focused learning. That focused learning is, you know, teachers really having a very defined focus on what they wanted to achieve. So each of the clusters actually had a cluster question or a cluster inquiry that they focused in on. For example, I talked about the mathematisation and contextualisation from Alberton. They focused in on the resilience. So, as I said, they went deeper rather than too wide. We know that in professional learning communities, if your focus is too wide, it becomes too unwieldy. And Michael, if I haven't answered that well enough for you, get in touch with me again. I'll have my details at the end, or you can find my details on any of those documents that have been given to you. If anybody wants to follow up with anything after, that's fine. So what? Go on.
We'll come back to that question. The question from Kelly. We'll come back to that a bit later. Okay.
Good question, Kelly. Well done. So what we've ended up with is this model that we're using that illustrates for us what responsive maths pedagogy might look like or is, that has come from our clusters. So I don't know if you can see my little arrow here on the screen, but for example, the academically responsive approach was very much about what Noorlunga did. Now, Noorlunga took the principles of accelerated literacy about being explicit and providing scaffolding and having sequence, you know, a learning sequence with a learning, really well articulated learning goal right at the start of the lesson. So theirs was very much an academic sort of inclusive approach to teaching. It's about academic maths, academic inclusion, and so on. Now, a number of our other clusters were very much about social inclusion or social mathematics, such as the Alberton cluster that took social context that kids love, and I know that all of you working with kids would be aware of social context that kids are right into at the moment, but using those contexts to teach Western mathematics so that they had a very strong social focus on kids. This cultural responsiveness one, the top circle, very much about what Orange did and the Darug people did. They were really looking at cultural perspectives, cultural knowledge, communities and kids' funds of knowledge, and applying those or using those to teach the mathematics curriculum. They were really responding to, you know, the local community, local cultural knowledge, and making connections between Western mathematics and what was, you know, culturally important. And in time, our clusters started, like these fellows down here, the academically responsive ones, started looking at these other ones and saying, well, you know, maybe we need to do a bit of that social stuff that these other clusters are doing. Or maybe we need to do some of these, building some more cultural perspectives or whatever you like to call it, but we need to be trying some other things as part of what we're doing, as part of our approach. So the clusters started looking at each other and began taking on ideas from, you know, such as the eight ways that Orange people were using. So what we're suggesting now is that a classroom teacher who is teaching maths with Aboriginal kids needs to be responsive and be able to teach in these three different ways at any one moment within the classroom. So, for example, you might be using an academically inclusive or responsive strategy, but you can build in language, cultural language, for example, or home language. You can build that in to the teaching of the academic language that happens in the academic approach. And, you know, I'm really interested in finding out down the track examples of all a balanced way of all these working together. So the classroom teacher here in the middle is able to, you know, pull from any of these three different sorts of approaches to teaching at any one moment in the classroom. Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, one of the things I'll say as an observation on that is that when we first started this project, one of the bits of advice we got from senior Aboriginal educators, senior mathematics educators, was you won't get there through just being really good at the maths. In other words, being very good at the academic side of things. And that's certainly borne out in that triangular diagram that to teach well requires drawing from those three domains as best works in the teaching at the moment. So that was just, we've cut this down from 2 hours to one, so that was a bit that got missed out, but I think it's important setting the scene for that diagram a bit. Back to you.
So if we've got this happening in a balanced way, then the learning outcomes of Janae and kids like her will get better. And then we will have greater career opportunities, life opportunities for kids, for Aboriginal kids and communities. Don't forget, if you've got any questions, please feel free to ask.
We've got Kelly's question, which was, do we plan to create a cluster in the NT region? Now, Make Account was a project of its time, and it finished at the end of last year, and this year's been about getting the resource together. Katie will talk more about that in a minute, and reporting. You know, the report's about 200 pages long and so on. So that's been the work. But what we believe, so we don't have in our back pockets the funding to put together clusters now, but what we're talking very hard to governments, and we'll start up with the new government in Canberra as soon as we find out who to talk to, will be about, this is a proven approach for generating locally applicable work that really makes a difference, and so we've got a methodology that we can put in place if and when we can find the money. So that's in a sense the answer. I'd ask you, Kelly, and others to just watch this space. But indeed, if groups of schools think, yeah, well, we could band together and some of what they're talking about makes a lot of sense, I would say don't hesitate to contact Katie and we'll work up a plot of some sort to see whether, see what we can do. So I guess the message is AAMT is open for business. We haven't got the source of funds, but we've certainly got a track record which we can put together with people who would like to work in that kind of way, and get networked in with whole heaps of people around the place. So that's the answer to that one. If you've got more on that, Kelly, please again get in touch with us afterwards. So that's the story of Make It Count. Do we want to ask? We've got 5 minutes for questions.
Yep. Any questions about?
So that one of Kelly's was a bit about the about Make It Count. But if you'd like to, just if there's anything on your mind, we'll see what we can do to answer quickly here, or put it on notice for later follow-up. Give you a few minutes.
Are you on? Oh, you're unmuted.
No, we're unmuted. Zoe wants to know what percentage of the Indigenous students from the project are ESL students. I'll just remind you that it was advice we got right at the start when we were developing the project to focus our work in metropolitan and regional centres, because the view was that there are many Aboriginal people who lived there and that there hadn't been much happening for them in maths to that time. Therefore, ESL wasn't a strong element in what we would the backgrounds or the needs of the kids that we were teaching. So I guess that, you know, the reality is we don't have anything much to say to people in settings where there are.
Yes.
Yeah. But that'd be an ideal thing for getting a make it count cluster, having a go at in schools where it is a big issue and a big bit of the context.
And that will be something, you know, you can see that slide now about a national network. That was certainly something for that national network.
But
at the same time, some of our clusters did have Aboriginal ESL kids in their clusters. We didn't have a specific focus. Only the closest would be the work that the Noarlunga cluster did around the explicit scaffolded principles of accelerated literacy.
So that answers John's question about first language speakers, I think. Kim has asked, is there the opportunity for this group to network, as in this group online here? I think the best spot would be the Connect with Maths Indigenous channel, which I think most of you or some of you will have come through. If not, there'll be ways through to that at the end. John Paul, where can I get lesson plans and units that work for Aboriginal students? I mentioned that the resource that Katie's putting together, it's a big online resource which anyone who's worked in that space knows how difficult they are to pull together shortly.
Yeah, watch this space.
Yeah, and yes, they will be available. They'll be available around the findings and the foci of the clusters, and we're really hoping, and that'll be free to everyone, freely available. Really hoping that's.
And John, I don't know if you've been on Scoodle or what's that other one that where they've got, where we put the number? Teach, Learn, Share. I'm not sure if there's stuff that is specifically for Aboriginal students, and maths, but it could be worth a look. But I think that's a very good call for, you know, that there is a place where you can access lessons, units of learning.
So in response to Kim's question about finding out more about the projects, that's in the resource itself.
And there's some more in the document, Kim.
Renee's just reminded everyone of the Connect with Maths Indigenous Community.
And Renee, can you put up the web address for that, please?
Bruce has asked the killer question. He said, interesting session, thanks. Just wondering about the next steps. And the screen in front of you has that. And that's, as I said at the start, the main focus what we really want a little bit of feedback from with you. Got to the end of a project, AAMT saying, well, how can we keep our momentum up but grow things? And it's become clear that if we could have what we're calling a coordinated and connected national network, that does three broad things. Firstly, it gets a strategic plan. So there's a fair bit happening in this space, but it's very often disconnected and someone's good idea at the time. We reckon that if we got the people together, we would get a good statement about these are the important things that need to happen, and then people, researchers, education systems, schools, teachers could could all channel their efforts in those directions. As part of that, again, plenty of research happening, but is it well targeted? Is it answering the questions that really matter in the field? And some of it clearly is. Other of it may need to be redirected to really have the impact that we need out of research. And finally, this network to be about partnerships, about being a space where people can get together. So, the mention of first language learners. There are academics who work in that field. I know there are schools that need to work in that field because that's their context. If we can have this network as a conduit for those people getting together and working together, and bringing education systems and stuff in to support what the people want to be doing, then maybe not too optimistic a view of the future. So that's where we're headed. The symposium, in each of the state capital cities have given us strong support for this. We are pushing on. We're not asking anyone for any money for it at the moment. We're just saying, let's get ourselves as the people on the ground organised and together and speaking coherently about what is a vital issue. So I think we've got a... So here's another chance for you, and the question's up in front of you at the minute. What sort of foci for the strategic plan would be really important for schools and communities in remote Australia? I think the network would be missing out if it didn't take on those sorts of issues and directions and provide guidance, leadership, opportunities in those spaces. So what we might be able to guess them, but it'd be really nice in the next 5 minutes to have them come out of your mouths, or rather from your fingers as you type them in there.
And while you're doing that, while you're thinking about what are those key elements that you think should be in a strategic plan, the national network which we are establishing is yet to be named. We'll be meeting in Adelaide on October the 25th, and the person who is chairing that, the chairperson of that national network, was actually ran the last webinar from the Connect with Maths, and he's actually online at the moment. Dr. Chris Matthews from Griffith University, and I know that some of you are actually on that, involved in that webinar with Chris. And we're, really privileged and honoured that Chris is going to be leading that network. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, so just, I can see that there's some people typing some things in. So, this won't be your last chance to have a go at setting the agenda for this network by any means, but it would be good to have you going into that meeting in October. It would be good to have some of that stuff on the table.
Good question.
Yeah. Michael has indicated, would astronomy and geometry work online in remote schools networks? Why not? Schools are amazing places that can do incredible things. If we can get the information and the networking around, I'm sure it's possible.
at stage three. So we're looking at year five, six, seven,
yeah. So, oh, God, you got, now you're, it's running off our screen. John has suggested enhancing partnerships between Indigenous community educators and Ballinda teachers in order to grow and utilise first language explication and delivery of maths key concepts.
Yep.
For those not in Arnhem Land, Ballinda is white fella teachers. Yeah.
Really important that two-way, three-way learning, John, is, you know, and there's certainly a lot we can do there. I know that there, in the 80s, 70s and 80s, there was some sort of work happening in that field, but it really needs to be progressed a lot further.
Okay.
And Louise talks about developed training modules for AEOs and learning support teachers on best practice, which is very much, which I talked about, the SWAN cluster, really important. Maths in the community, not just in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And, you know, taking that maths home and using it in the community, but also extracting what's happening in the community and teaching it, using it to teach maths, Western mathematics in the classroom. And Bruce, two elements, engagement of remote Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander educators in the project and training for pre-service teachers before they go to remote schools. I'm guessing, Bruce, you might be from a university. And, that training, you know, has been on the agenda for a long time, but how, you know, how effective it is, particularly around maths education, is an interesting question. And Kay, yes, John, I agree, we need to highlight the importance of connecting home language with mathematics language. And the little bits in between, the home language and mathematics language.
I guess I'm, you know, just as a bit of an observation for someone who hasn't worked in these sorts of communities and remote locations, is that clearly the language issues, and I use the plural there because I think there are a number of them, are vital in your thinking about how mathematics for Aboriginal kids can be progressed. I think that's, you know, it's language is also an issue in city schools, but it's got a particular bent there, and I think yours is a much broader and in some senses more challenging, but probably more rewarding sort of context as well.
Michael says, I've been involved in training SLSO,
yeah,
AEOs in Count Me In 2, learning framework in number, problems with students staying in Count By One strategies just within our schools. New South Wales working mathematically strand 2 has been great. I'll be interested to talk to you some more about that, John, if we can get in touch with each other. Hilary, agree with John, first language instruction is a crucial link that needs to be supported with training for teachers. I also believe a key element needs to be a timeline and reflection and improvement of project design built into the plan.
I mean, I might, being systematic and strategic is another, you know, is sort of what you're talking about there. Reflection improvement was I think they're connected.
Okay, we're getting close to, we need to finish in 3 minutes' time. There was a question earlier about the evaluation of Make It Count. We had an external evaluation and, you know, really strong process that happened throughout the project, and it's all written up in the final report. If you're wanting to get more information, please contact me about that.
Let me say, that wasn't all sweetness and light. There were, you know, there were aspects of the project that didn't go nearly as well as we or the people involved thought they would.
And that was important learning as well.
Yeah.
What didn't work probably, you know, told us more.
Yeah. It didn't dispirit the people involved. They just got, you know, took on the information and got on with it. So, and that's the nature of schools.
Our final slide for you is the next steps.
Steps about the network. This is just to reiterate it. This is the last of the symposiums. It's one we didn't plan to do, but I'm really pleased that it came from a suggestion from someone, that we do reach out and try to talk to people from remote locations, and I think we've very definitely gained from that. So that that style of consultation has finished and left us with a strong commitment to pushing this thing forward. We will have an initial meeting of the network with that planning group towards the end of October. That's just in front of the launch of the network in November at the Bungie conference.
Bungie.
She always picks me up on pronunciation. On the Bungie conference, which is the biennial Aboriginal Education Conference, which will be in Sydney, and maybe some of you people are going. So.
But we don't know. We haven't got approval.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. We're hoping to launch it there. We're still waiting to hear about whether we can.
Yeah.
But we will be running a workshop there around the network.
And
the Connect with Maths online learning community.
Yeah. And our thinking has been and feedback has been positive about the notion of a national conference focusing on Aboriginal kids learning mathematics at some stage during 2014. It's got a question mark next to it there because that's really cooked up by Katie and I, and we've talked to a few people. It will be the network that decides and takes ownership of that conference should it proceed. So they're the next steps, and the three dots at the bottom is, you know, watch this space for a grassroots development that has power because it's doing good things and saying good things and getting good things done through the people involved. And people would ignore that at their peril, it seems to me.
Okay. We need to finish up now. Come to the end of our hour, and I know they're going to chop us off. So there will be an exit survey. If you could, as I said, complete that, it's very quick. And the webinar has been recorded, so it will be available on the Connect with Maths website within a week. So if there's anything you missed, also don't forget those documents. They will be down the bottom right-hand corner. You can download those. They'll give you more information about Make It Count and about what we're on about as well, and those cluster findings. So I think we need to say goodbye. Thank you, Louise. Bungie means wife, husband in Creole. Okay. It's a New South Wales word too that means something about learning communities. That's interesting. But thank you, everybody, for participating, and I'm hoping there'll be some good outcomes from this, and particularly in relation to that plan that the network will be developing. We know, remote, that you're out there, and you know, we care about what's going on, and want to keep contact with you. Thanks. Over and out.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.